Ah, praise the Lord. How many of y'all get that today? I mean, you get that stuff today. Working for you today. Working with you today. Working in you today. Well, I've been waiting for a while to say this. But there's a lesson here. If you stay with something long enough, believe in it long enough, we got a lot of our hilltoppers in this particular service. And tops, I want to thank God for answering prayers. And thank God for y'all staying in there. And thank you guys. We got a lot of coaches, a lot of players. And you know what? We pray. And guess what? And we love you whether W or L. See, that's the cool thing about Jesus Christ. It's not evaluated love. But I just thought it was pretty neat last night to see that win and see that victory. And you accomplish and you go on. But guess what? It's even more powerful this morning. This morning, we've already seen lives changed, and that win goes for eternity. That win goes for eternity. Do you realize that? W's and L's, people don't remember them. You know, Gary, people don't remember. We were awful. That's a good thing, you know? But you know what? You know what? They don't remember if you're real good either. They remember the now. And so Paul, who we know as Paul, was once Saul. He is now in the midst of the transformation. What? The transformation. What do you think the next word of that is? Process. How many of y'all glad to know that you get better each and every day? Amen. It's not a someday, but it's an every day. How many of y'all know a little bit more about God this week than you did last week? Amen. Come on, you're making progress. How many of y'all are probably going to be more filled with the glory of God next week than you are this week? Yeah. And now you're understanding the faith. What the faith does is bring us from glory to glory, which can be interpreted as this, from God's reality to God's reality to God's reality. How many of y'all are becoming a little more into God's reality and a little less of your own? Amen, you know, and God's reality looks nothing like ours. So the song that Billy just so beautifully led out on, I give myself what? Away. Boy, that's hard. How many of y'all find that to be very difficult? Because watch this, I'm going to show you something right now. Go to Acts 9, verse 20b. I'm going to give you two attitudes. You all check me on this and see if it's true. For those who choose not to engage in a relationship with Jesus Christ, their attitude is the get. What do you think? It's a get attitude, Josh. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get it. 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 How many of y'all know those people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit? They are on the get. Senator Mike, have you seen anybody on the get? I mean, they call you to lobby you to get what? Get their way. Come on. We're on the what? Get. If you get a man, now y'all listen, some of y'all are married. Some of y'all starting out. Some of y'all thinking about it. Be careful. If you get married outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ, here's why marriages get messed up so quick, because the husband will be on the, he'll be always wanting to get something. And then a wife will always be wanting what? To get something. And so you'll have two people on the get, and when you got two people on the get, what happens? You get God. I like that. That is a Kentucky. Only a man born in Litchfield would say that right there. You get got. Luke, they don't say that down in Tennessee. You get got. Yeah, you dissolve because guess what? Saul was going to go get them, wasn't he? I'm going to get those who follow the name of Jesus. I'm going to get them. I'm going to imprison them. I will even kill them because they're in my way. Now, that sounds foreign to us, but it's not foreign to us. When you want your way, you will always stand in the way of what you could have. Do you understand that attitude? Now, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, this is the wonderful thing. What happens to Saul? It's a mystery. It's a moment. What falls off of his eyes last week? Scales. He gets rid of his blindness. Here's the problem. Most of us, when we go to the eye doctor, he never tells us our real eye problem. You know, we're either nearsighted or we're what? Farsighted. Most of us are me-sighted. He never gave you that one, didn't he? Because guess what? He can't write you a prescription for meanness. He can't write you one of those. I want what I want. I want it the way I want it. And that's what drove Saul. Now, here's what happens to Saul. He's going down a road. He gets hit. He's blinded by the light before they even had the song. And if you know that song, you're old. That's why you're laughing, David Duncan. You dance to that song, Duncan. That's how old that song is. And so there's this moment where Saul encounters Jesus. And now look what it does to him. At one time, he is a persecutor of the church. Watch this. This is a cool thing about God. And now he's going to become a proclaimer. What makes that happen? That's out of this world. Yeah, that's right. That's out of this world. Jesus was what? Out of this world, into this world, so that we could get out of this world into his world. Now, if you can't get all that right now, hang on. You'll be blinded by the light here in a minute. Drew? Jesus comes into Saul. He's so convinced that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is real. He proclaims his name. Now, I want you to know, today, if you came to a church and you were looking for a politically correct church that was a church of tolerance, I want to apologize to you because you came to the absolute wrong church in town. I'm not politically correct. I don't believe in that stuff. I just think that's a polite way to lie. Call it what it is. Sin is sin. Now, what is the big, big, big deal of our culture? What do we love to be? Everybody's trying. Everybody elbows me and says, you need to be more what? Tolerant. I'm not tolerant. I got some things I'm not tolerant of. I am not tolerant of stuff that will kill you. And I want you young people to get it right. Apparently, a few generations of parents has screwed it up, and that's how we got the world we got today. You know what killed the baby boomers? They had one thing on their mind. Them. Read their religious writings. The writings of the 60s, 70s, and 80s have nothing to do with Jesus but how Jesus can please people. Every religious movement of the 60s, 70s, and 80s always had them in the center. Have you noticed? That's why none of them last. I remember the charismatic movement, but the charismatic movement was not about the power of God. It was about the person receiving the power of God. It's never about that. It's about God being what? Glorified. His name being what? Pronounced. Saul gets it. I like his brother. He goes immediately after he has this encounter with Jesus Christ, and he goes to the synagogues, and guess what he starts doing? Preaching in the name of Jesus. I'm a name of Jesus kind of guy. I believe Jesus will take you to heaven. What do y'all believe? Yes. Now, here's where it gets dangerous. I don't believe there's another way. No. Ah! Pastor Steve, what about all the good people? What about all the good people? Here's the flaw in your all's logic. What good people? Well, the people that hand out clothes. Well, guess what they do? They hand out clothes. Wonderful. So we're going to have a bunch of clothed people going to hell. Boy, that was beneficial, wasn't it? I guess that's better than going to hell freezing. Well, what about hungry people? Watch this. Y'all going to get kind. Y'all's generation's into this. As long as we give everybody clean water, some food, and some clothes, then it will be well with the world. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is, wait a minute, I need Jesus. You need Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Does anybody in this house of worship still believe that gospel? That's the one being taken out. Good works will never replace God's message. Saul was a good work kind of guy. Saul was a religious guy. All of y'all that think memory verses are going to save you, Saul had you out memorized. He would have beat you in a scroll drill. Those of y'all who grew up in church and had those Bible drills. Draw scrolls. Saul would have found it first. He had the information, but not the realization. How many of y'all walking around with biblical information and no biblical realization? Which is, you can study and ignore the truth. How many of y'all have ever noticed that? And the truth is Jesus. Y'all better listen when you're getting all these little movements. When you're young, there's about 165,000 religious movements that go on. Everybody's in a movement. God's told everybody everything. And it's amazing. God tells everybody everything, but none of us want to listen to what he said to very directly. Go ye therefore and tell the world about me. Oh, we don't like, well, that's somebody's calling, but that's not my calling. My calling is to organize specialized prayer groups so I can get specialized attention. And here's what's amazing. Mike, the reason you're laughing, you've heard that 1,000 times like me through your lifetime. Well, the Lord's told me. I say, really? Let me tell you what he told all of us. Go. Memo from God. Go be what I made you to be. Be my people under my name. How many of y'all have heard that? Well, Saul gets this. Apparently those scales flew off his eyes. He goes right to the synagogues, and guess what he did? He preached Jesus. Here's what he said. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man, I love this word, who raised havoc in Jerusalem? How many of y'all have ever been to a conference on the church raising havoc in the world? You see, we tend to forget that when we believe something, we can be havoc. I mean, I have people, they get mad at me, folks. I'm not lying to y'all. They get mad at me. They look at me and say, Ayers, you can't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. I said, can too. That's the gospel. I believe Jesus, but I said, here's the good news. I want you to have Jesus. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to know that he died. I want you to know that he's risen. I want you to know that he's real. I want you to know that heaven is possible. That's the good news. And you know what happens? You know what happens to the church in America? You think we can make a workbook out of that? Think we can put a Jesus poster up on a wall? I got an idea. Let's make bracelets. That was when y'all were in junior high. Remember, Josh? We're going to win the world to Jesus through what would Jesus do bracelets. And they all had a question mark on them. And I'd always tell young people when I did conferences, I said, if y'all read the Bible, you take the question mark off the end of your bracelet. It's not what would Jesus do question. It's what Jesus has done. Statement. See, we're scared of statements. Paul, he said, Jesus, Son of God. Now, you go to a synagogue and you say Jesus is the Son of God. Can I tell you, people get ticked. In fact, they get more than ticked, but I'm not going to use that word, but that's what they do. I mean, raving mad. Can you imagine today if I was to walk into one of our peace-loving mosques where everybody is just so wonderfully tolerant and stood up in the podium of the mosque and declared Jesus the Son of God? Would there be problems? They would like, well, no, they wouldn't. According to all my leaders in the nation, they tell me that they're peace-loving. Let me go to Egypt and say Jesus is the Son of God. Many of my brothers and sisters this month have died by the hands of religion. This is how current this story is. Saul was going to kill, and he ended up being brought to life. And people who are truly saved want others to live. People who are religious want to conform. Because the best religion can do is, guess what? Conform. Conform to our rules and what? Walk like me, talk like me, look like me, think like me. In fact, how many of y'all have ever gotten kicked out of a group before? Or you've ever been into a group? Y'all may not believe this. People didn't think I was going to be a preacher. Klein, when I was in high school, do you think I was going to be a preacher? Hear that laugh? I mean, I just want y'all to know nobody voted me most likely to preach. I was up at Georgetown College. I never will forget this. And they had this meeting. They had this little group. It was a Baptist college for future preachers. People that might preach. Well, I was kind of wondering, you know, God was beginning to pull at my heart that I was going to preach. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I can. I had long hair. Now, I want y'all to picture this. Now, this is back in the early 80s, okay? People like Cyndi Lauper were singing back then. And people like Boy George was a hit. Imagine this. There was some powerful marijuana in the 80s held over from the 60s, okay? And so, and let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. It's crazy. I got this long kind of mullet looking hair, not Billy Ray Cyrus. I'm talking bad boy mullet. You know, we got this hair down here like this. And I got, you remember, And I got this mustache that's real thick, and it just goes like this. Boom. Nothing in the middle. And so I said, hey, I might be a preacher, Larry. I'm going to go to Future Preacher Boys meeting. I had on a pair of sweat combat boots and some sweatshirt with a hood on it and that kind of look. And I walked in Future Preacher Boy meeting. Now, Ben, you'd have been all right because you look nice. You know, Ben walked in, they'd have liked you, Ben. You know, clean shaven, you're a kicker. I was like, defensive guy. So I walk in and here come the preacher boys. They look good. They have white shirts on because Jesus said, once you get saved, wear a white shirt. And they had on, you know, they had on flax. All of them were clean shaven. They looked good. They had Old Spice on because they knew that was the spice that Jesus was buried with. And I mean, they had, you know, they smelled holy, looked holy. They had that Gillette, John Paul, you remember that Gillette dry look hairspray. They all had the whoosh. I used to call it the holy whoosh. No hairs were out of place. I mean, they could put a part into kind of like, it came like this. And they Gillette dried it right there. So when you're preaching, you just get that holy bounce right there. Man, these guys were called by God. And I'm sitting there, a pair of old sweatpants, old sweatshirt, combat boots on, looking like a crazy man. As soon as I walked in, they said, are you lost? And I said, no. I said, I thought this was Future Preacher Boys meeting. And they go, you don't think you're going to be a preacher, do you? I said, I think God's calling me. And they said, are you saved? I said, I am saved. I believe Jesus Christ has saved his sin. And one of them was, I mean, he was going to be one of these, you know, point your finger preachers. He goes, well, I was by the football practice field the other day and I heard you cuss. I said, I don't deny that. And he said, so you're okay with being a cussing preacher? I said, I don't know if I'm okay with it, but I'm in process. It ain't all left yet. My sins are saved, but my language is still on hold at times. And then I said, if you don't get out of my face, you're fixing to hear something. I knew where I was weak. I didn't fit in, but I'm going to be very honest because, you know, young people, when you try to figure out where in the world God's going to put you in life, man, that's a tough time, isn't it? And I really thought that I could never be used as a minister because I just couldn't do it right. I could never do it right. And I tried doing it right. Elizabeth and I got a picture when we're 20, what, honey, 22? And we look 50. I mean, I did. I got me some Gillette, that dry look. I tried to get my hair over there. I put on a suit and tie, cranked my big old neck down. And Elizabeth, she had the double wing holy whiff back you know, she got her some Holy Ghost mall hair, and we took this little portrait, you know, the Reverend and Mrs. Ayers at Greenwood Baptist Church. Only problem is I did that for about 9 months, and I got depressed. I didn't know I was depressed, but after I read about depression, I was like, I've done that. And you know why? I wouldn't let God use what God had called. God had called a long-haired, crazy man who loved people, who had a bumper sticker. I had the coolest bumper sticker. I still believe it. Said, God, guns, and guts made America. Let's keep all three. In the first church I was called to, that's the way I went. I mean, I had a four-wheel drive truck jacked up to the moon, 400 big block. A carbon footprint that would drive Michelle Obama insane. It got 3 miles to gallon, but it could pull a house down. I pull up to this Baptist church. I get out and there's a deacon, a real deacon. I'm talking white-headed, been a deacon since he's born kind of deacon. He goes, who are you? I said, I'm your new youth pastor. He said, you won't last 3 weeks. They actually put a pool on me in a Baptist church. They opposed the lottery, but they bet on how long I'd be here. When I left there 4 years later, that old man looked at me and he said, well, it took me a long time. He called me a hippie because my hair is long. But he said, I hope God sends us another hippie minister. It's worked out pretty well. You've stayed longer than anybody. And I looked at him. I said, you know why, Bill? He said, no. I said, because I'm insane. I had crazy meetings in my young ministry. I got called in by the deacons. I was getting reported on because I wouldn't visit. And I came in. They said, you won't go visit people. I said, I wouldn't invite anybody to this church. And I said, y'all can fire me. I won't invite people to this church till this church gets straightened up. There's no way I'd bring a new baby into your mess. Now, when you let God clean the mess out of it, then we can bring some new believers into it. I was crazy. I started telling the truth early on. And guess what? When you tell the truth in the name of Jesus, I'm going to give you the truth. Not everybody's going to like you. And it makes you feel bad because you want to love everybody. You want to get them to heaven. Look at Paul. Jesus has changed his whole direction. He knows the truth. He goes to the synagogue. He says in the name of Jesus. And guess what they want to do to him? Kill him. Once he began to preach Jesus, guess what? The Jews plotted against him and they were going to have him killed. Good news is, read on down there, Bobby. Read on down there. He had enough buddies that he found a way out of the wall and he escaped death. Isn't that amazing? Here is a guy who knew how to kill people running from the very people he organized to kill people who used the name of Jesus. Now, guess what? When I heard this scripture way back when I was your all's age, guess what? I thought that was far-fetched. That's not far-fetched to our moment in culture, is it? Ask the Coptic Christians in Egypt how tolerant the name of Jesus is there today after we've liberated the place. Did y'all realize 30 of your brothers and sisters were burned to death for the name of Jesus after liberation? Well, if that's liberation, I don't need that kind of liberation. Hello? Let me tell you why. Religion is always intolerant. At its best, it can tolerate somewhat. At its worst, it is intolerant unto death. But Jesus is not a tolerant God. He's a trans what? Forming God. Check this out. Let me ask you a question. When we were created, did God say, let there be humans? What did God do? When it came to humans, how did God do it? Jerry, you've heard this story 100 times. What did God do? He reached down and what? Got dust. So watch this. We're the only thing that God didn't create out of speech. Think about it. He transformed us out of dirt. We are designed to be what? Transformed. In fact, look at the person next, sitting next to you and go, you are the original Transformers. That's true. You're a Transformer. I mean, our very essence is to what? Transform. Hold on. I'll show you. How many parents I got in here? Got any parents in here? How many of y'all been parents? How many of y'all have children older than 4 years old? Okay. How many of you think this? We're about to finish the sermon. Don't fear. I know when you all think I get to parenthood, it could be a long day today. Okay, look here. How many of you all would enjoy having your children stuck at 2? No. Let's ask Elizabeth. Her little precious babies have moved out. Honey, what if God had just said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring Blake and Clacy up to 2 years old and they're on hold there for the rest of their life. You know what I'd have said? Lord, I'm coming home. Take me. Sweet Jesus, come get me. Josh, I remember when you were 2. Thank God you didn't stay 2. But you what? Transformed. We got a picture of Josh and Blake right out here in front of the church because when we started the church, Josh and Blake were the only 2 preschoolers in the whole church. And they were lucky. We had an Easter egg hunt for them. Now, let me tell you how brilliant we're. And they still didn't find all the eggs. What do you think about that? We had to point it out to both of them. They're over there. And they're having a meeting. Where do you think they are? They were it. But they didn't stay there. Josh, I remember a point in time, both you and Blake, if I made fun of y'all having a girlfriend, both of y'all went into orbit. And now I'm not even going to go there. See what I'm saying? Things what? I used to couldn't stay home. Now I enjoy going home. Mm-hmm. Because you're just hoping they don't move you out of there sooner than you want them to. Things what? Saul becoming Paul is a transforming moment from a man that would persecute the name of Jesus to a man that would proclaim the name of Jesus to the point that he'll risk his life for who changed him. It's that dynamic. It's that dramatic. What happens? He goes to the disciples. He gets back to Jerusalem. He gets with the disciples, and guess what? The disciples don't want to have anything to do with him. He had sweatpants on, and he didn't have the disciples' clothes on. They said, "This is the same man that was trying to kill us." Hold on. Some of y'all need to be a Barnabas. How many of y'all got a Barnabas in your life? I want to thank God right now. As I preach this scripture, I remember some Barnabas types in my life. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't think he really was a disciple. They thought he was on a plot, that he was going to get in, infiltrate, and do what to them? Kill them. Can you imagine the church being this intense today? What have we turned the church into? Guys, this is a real message. It changed our lives forever. How many of y'all have ever been really, really hungry? I mean, really, really hungry. I used to sit in church and hunger would fall over me at the 11 o'clock service at First Baptist Church immediately. I mean, all they had to do is say church time and I was starving. I was ready to go to lunch. I remember sometimes I'd get so hungry I didn't know what to do. And guess what my mama would give me? Tic Tac. I mean, what kind of deal is that? A green mint Tic Tac. Now, guess what? For a moment, I put that Tic Tac in my mouth and it get lost in your back molar back there. I had to flip it back out. You're working that Tic Tac and you go, it kind of feels like food. It has a fresh release through your nostrils. Your eyes kind of burn for a minute, but it is not what? It's not good. How many of y'all are trying to follow a Tic Tac Jesus? You just want enough of Jesus on Sunday morning to know he's there, but not enough of Jesus to really fill you up and change you. Because I'm going to tell you what, Tic Tacs don't work. One time I was starving. I snuck out my mom's reserve Tic Tacs during worship. I swallowed a whole bottle. I mean, put them all in my mouth. Now, first of all, have y'all ever tried to be quiet during a sermon with a mouth full of Tic Tacs? Them things start, I mean, I had like wintergreen exhaust out of both nostrils as a kid. It looked like I broke out in a Pentecostal fit. I got tears running down my eyes. Old ladies in the back of the church. Oh, that's so precious. He's being touched by God. I want to go. I got Tic Tac juice running out the side of my jaws here. So I knew I was going to get in trouble. I knew my dad was going to thump my head if I put on a show here. I swallowed them. You know what Tic Tacs will do? They will not fill you up. They do not provide nourishment. They make you sick. It's like an overdose of wintergreen. So I sat through that whole service. How many of y'all got a mint God and you need a meat God? See, a little bit of Jesus won't get you through. The smell of Jesus won't bring it through. The activity and energy of Jesus won't bring it through. It's the name of Jesus. You got to take on the what? Name of Jesus. Now look what he shows them. Barnabas stands up and says, wait a minute, this guy, Saul, the one that was the persecutor has become a blesser. Guess what? He is the one who was changed at Damascus. He is the one the Lord spoke to. Barnabas told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fiercely in the name of who? Jesus. Gosh. Guys, y'all want to see a movement? Y'all ready for this? Jesus. I hate to disappoint y'all. I don't want to break y'all's hearts, but circling up and lighting candles, we did that in the early 70s. That's not a new movement. It's just so old, it looks new. I mean, we got in candles and everybody got in touch with their inner self, their inner feelings, and their inner Jesus. How you like the last 40 years that you grew up in? But you know what folk hadn't done in a long time? They hadn't hugged an old rugged cross. the emblem of suffering and shame. We've been too busy singing, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. More, more. Bless me, Lord. We've been too busy going to church to see if we could get our cup filled, trying to find the right church. I even went to conference and it was talking about people that shop for a church. I'd say people that shop for a church don't know Jesus. I don't want a church that pleases me. I want a church that declares his name. I want a church that declares his name. It all changes at the what? Name. Steve, when you were baptized, did I baptize you in the name of multiple gods or a higher power? I said, in the name of who? Jesus changed my brother. Does it say this in the scripture? At the name of supreme force, something beyond ourselves, every knee shall bow and tongue confess. Does it say in the name of the higher power beyond us, Buzz Lightyear, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess? Does it say this in the scripture? Whichever God you choose to believe and embrace in your life, as long as you're loving and happy, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. Does it say that? Does it say blessed are the tolerant, or does it say blessed are the faithful? Pastor Steve, if I say that on campus, if I say that in the university, they're going to think I'm dumb. Let me help you. I'll put the Apostle Saul's intellect up against any professor at Western Kentucky University. Multilingual, thoroughly studied in the sciences and technology of this moment of time, studied with the best, University of Gamaliel, PhD of his time. Saul would have been a Harvard boy, a Yale boy. MIT. I got that right, didn't I? It's not MTI, is it? Sometimes I flip my letters. And if you really want to mess me up, just give me letters in the alphabet. They call that algebra, and I'm glad some of y'all can do it. When they started mixing my letters in my alphabet, I said, It's an unholy mix for me. God, just give me the alphabet. Let somebody else take care of the numbers. Look at here. His name. Got it? You know how Barnabas gave Saul credit? He fell under the name of who? Jesus. What name do you hear about at Hillview? Jesus. How many Sundays do you hear about it? Jesus. Good. Next week, whose name will I bring up?
Jesus.
Take a guess. Let's see how smart you are. Week after that.
Jesus.
If I live to be 90 years old and they still let me preach, not every Sunday, but some Sundays, it'll take me that long to get a once a month sermon up. You know what I mean? Might take me 15 minutes to get up to the pulpit. Don't worry, it'll be at the 8 o'clock service. Y'all will be there by then. You'll be old. Look at here. Look at here. What name do you think I'm going to talk about?
Jesus.
That's it. And why would I do that? Bobby, when I read the scripture, the predominant name of the holy text is Jesus. I know no other name. He gained his strength. He preached Jesus, and he was sent away. Interesting, where they sent him. They sent him off to Tarsus. Bobby, with your biblical knowledge, why would Tarsus be anything connected to Saul? It's his hometown. Y'all know how hard it is to preach in your hometown? Try it. See, Gary Dale could stand up over here. Gary Dale, first of all, there's two things I didn't think would happen. Gary Dale, did anybody ever think you'd be on a school board? Lord, just to get you to school was a great thing. And now you're on a board that directs what? School. Nobody thought I'd be a preacher. And you know what? Really, nobody thought you'd be what you were going to be. But in the name of Jesus, what has happened? Things have become possible that everybody else doubted. Pete, where did they have you written off to?
You don't want to know.
You're supposed to be dead by now, according to your friends. Is that real? How many of y'all are glad to know humans can't predict for other humans? Humans talk, God changes. Humans predict the future. God pronounces it. Pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, y'all glad to know this is real today. I'm telling you, if God can change Saul, a religious bigot, can he change you? He got this dude so cranked up, he started preaching in the name of Jesus. Leonard Bailey, you supposed to be sitting in church, brother? No, where are you supposed to be? Out there. I mean, when you started coming, they said, Leonard, come here. I said, man, I've known Leonard since he was a little old bucket-headed kid. What are you talking about? I know Leonard. I said, Leonard knows Jesus. He got the name of Jesus. That'll change him. Well, have you heard? I hear the name of who? See, if the church would start listening for the name of Jesus, the church would quit listening to insignificant things. Because there's one name the devil hates. Jesus. You tell the pastor, you say, well, I know Pastor Steve Ayers, Mr. Devil. He'll go, I do too. He was a great customer. You know the name of Jesus? Then the devil becomes limited, powerless, and done. At the name of, you want to speak power? Jesus. What gave him cred? Jesus. Y'all all got this today? How many of y'all realize that God wants you to live? He doesn't want you to step away. He doesn't want you to fall back. He wants you to what? Live a full and abundant life. There have been people saved at both services today. I'm sure this one will be no different. Who's going to save you? I am glad that you're here today so that you could be saved. Here's why we had church today. So that your sins might be forgiven, might be absolutely forgiven, and you might live forever. Is that cool? We didn't have church today for anybody's entertainment. So if you weren't entertained today, that's because we never considered your entertainment. If you'd like to be entertained, that'd be 7550 Nashville, Tennessee. It's called Music City. Go get you some entertainment. Luke Bryan, he puts on a great concert. How many of y'all got to go to the Luke concert? 39, you heard Luke Bryan. Great. It was a great concert, wasn't it? I didn't get to go, but I heard it was a great concert. Did anybody get saved? Because in the name of Luke. I mean, you can shake a little country, but you can't shake your soul loose. Make sense? Only in the name of who? Jesus. All right. I mean, I've been to a Hank Williams Jr. concert in my youth. That was a great time. Hank had everybody fired up, but guess what? Nobody got saved. Lisbeth and I even went to Kool and the Gang concert way back in Westville. Remember that, Lisbeth? Kool and the Gang with Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. You know what? Everybody was in the concert hall going, you know, bouncing around like this. Everybody felt an energy. Nobody. I've been to some church services like that too. Everybody bounced around full of God and nobody got saved. Basically, I said, wait a minute. How can you bounce around full of God and nobody get saved? Because in Acts 2, when the Spirit fell, the great news was 3,000 were added that day and there was no bounce. Just action. I'll trade in my bounce for God's power. Paul, as soon as he took on the light, notice this, I'm going to stop here. Was Paul talking about the road to Damascus, or was he talking about who he met on the road to Damascus? You notice how he didn't talk about the happening on Damascus. He talked about the who he met in Damascus. His name is Jesus. All right. Y'all stand together. Y'all been great today. If you don't mind, just give yourselves a hand for listening to God today. Just go ahead and say, man, I want to appreciate you, God. And we're about to be done with church. Now listen. Hey, I was excited last night, Topper's game. I can't tell you I wasn't, man. I got excited. You know, I mean, I didn't cry or nothing like that. I ain't like that kind of guy, but I was excited. Elizabeth was taking pictures. You know, memories. Watch this. But it made me think last night. I'm sitting there and people are pouring out onto a field and they're going crazy. And it was a good thing. But guess what? Why doesn't the church get that excited when people go to heaven forever? Now, you know, I want to give us a little heads up. I used to pastor a church when people got saved. Everybody else went crazy. Now, I'm glad this is happening one way. Y'all are used to seeing people come to know Jesus. But don't get too used to it. I sure don't want to see God remove his flow so we might once again appreciate it. Every Sunday, man, somebody comes to heaven through his place. If you will, I'm satisfied with Hillview being a terminal, which people can head toward heaven. Are y'all cool with that? So kind of like an airport. It kind of looks around the airport around here. We got screens, you know, heaven, gate one, all boarding. It's never delayed, and it arrives on time. Amen. Some of y'all are going to go out there and go, is my name on it for this week? I hope so, because it begins now. Isn't that cool? I changed my language a few years back. I'm not going to heaven. I'm just going to arrive where I've been located. We're really all living in heaven. We just don't know it. We're just kind of we're in the backyard. One day we're going to see the front side, but guess what? The kingdom of God is now, not later. Jesus kept saying that the kingdom of God's at hand. It's now. It's immediate. It's in. It's on. And so I'm going to pray. Some of y'all need to receive Jesus. Some of y'all need to get baptized. Isn't that cool? Dwayne, how was that baptism? Yeah. Seen people baptized. Baptism didn't hurt you, did it? Yeah, because people keep telling me, guess what they keep telling me, man? They go, well, Pastor Steve, I'd get baptized, but I'm scared. Steve, did you have any after effects of baptism that were dangerous? You didn't have hair before we baptized you, right? That's something that scared people. They say, oh my God, Steve got baptized and his hair fell out. No, he's bald when he went in. Now, would have been cool if he'd have come up with a head of hair. So we'd have been baptizing him, a Rogaine Jesus. What do you think about that? We'd be baptized, people left and right. No, but you know, God would never do that because guess what? He's not about you, he's about him. But you might see him. Make sense? Then people would want to get baptized so they get hair. Then you'd just be, you know, dead with hair. No value. Here's the message today. Anybody in this room can be saved. You believe that or not? I do. So Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've been real sorry. You don't understand, I baptized a lot of sorry people. In fact, everybody I baptized was sorry. Think about it. Ashton, even though you were a little princess, you were a little corrupt princess. Because you ran around with my corrupt princess. Elizabeth, she married a corrupt prince, and I wasn't even prince. And I married a corrupt princess, because you know what? We've all what? And fallen what? Of what we could be. But in Christ, watch this, all sin is forgiven and we all arrive together. Does anybody know a better message? So I hope you'll receive what Jesus has done today. May his name be in you. May you receive him right now. I just feel like God's going to do something great right here at the altar. I want everybody to be on altar alert. I want y'all to come pray that people would be saved. Next week, I want you to get so crazy about the name of Jesus, you would invite somebody. Let's just have crazy day next Sunday. How about that? Keith, are we having that gospel singing, stomping music next Sunday? Get country people here next week. I mean, just go out in the country and say, hey, come to church with me. How many of y'all need to invite some people? University students, let me give you a mission trip idea. There's 15,000 plus students right here in your dorms daily. 15% of them have a relationship with Jesus Christ. They go to the same hell as Haiti people. And you can speak to them and they understand. But it's a little tougher. You'll have to live with them longer than a week. They'll watch you every day to see if what you believe is for real. It's called life ministry. It's very difficult, but made possible in who? Tops. We're going to thank God for coming through, but are we going to live with an integrity that really wins? Here's what I love about Jesus. No temporary wins in Christ. It's eternal. It's forever. Live it out. And I love you guys. There's some people in here today that get saved. And it's going, I won't be crazy. Sorry. Maybe you thought you were saved. That happens too. It does. I didn't used to think it happens, but it happens. A lot of people met a poster of Jesus, but it's never changed their lives. I can tell you this right now. If your life isn't changing and you're calling on the name of Jesus, he hadn't gotten hold of you. Because when you get a hold of the real thing, you're going to change. You can't stop it. You can't control it. It's that powerful. So Jesus, I just ask right now, this altar's open. You come as I pray. And listen, tell him right now, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I've sinned. I need your hope, your love, your peace. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sin. You said, Pastor Harris, it can't be that simple. It's not. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to make that message possible. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Man, whoever needs to receive that right now, may the Holy Spirit confirm that in their life. Draw you to faith right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my what? And then tell him, Lord, I know you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave and you would come into me. I can tell you what the Bible says if you believe it. The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone, not someone, but everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what? It doesn't say everyone will call upon him, but it does say this. Everyone that does believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord will be what? That means they're going to heaven. Now, if that's a real deal for you, let's get baptized and get that done. Now, listen, here's what I tell you. Don't play with this message. I don't get it. Some of my dearest buddies, not baptized, won't follow Jesus. They say, Pastor, it's not time. I said, listen, guys, well, you don't know when time is. See, I get so tired of people saying, well, you're in middle age. How do you know where middle age is when you don't know where the end is? You may be in middle age at your 20s. You may be in middle age at your 90s. I don't know. I know there's an end. And I know if you're in Jesus, there is no end. Is that cool? All right, listen, this altar's open. Please come. Receive him. Let him live in you. Let him bless you. I'm sorry I can't be tolerant. It's a cheap message when you know a transformer. So why leave you where you are when you can be made like him? Loving, peaceful, gentle, kind. Blessing. This altar's open. Come now and receive Jesus. Come now and be saved. Come now and pray. Come now and be healed. Come now and pray for others. But come now. Come now. Let Jesus have you. Come now. Come now. Come on, church. Come on, Holy Spirit. Bring us to your reality. Come on, Holy Spirit. Bring us to your truth. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.